Hey everybody, it's Connor. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for an amazing year of drama. Before we say hello to 2024, we've got one more episode for you with Paul Schwenson. You're going to love him. You're going to love the show. And I want you to resolve one of your New Year's resolutions should be to become a member of Drama Plus. That's our Patreon, where every single month for only $5, you get extra episodes where Dylan and I talk to each other, little twin talks, and you get added to our Instagram close friends. And to top all of it off, you make us the happiest twins in the world. So thank you for listening to our show. Go rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to it and become a member of Drama Plus. Make that your New Year's resolution. Thank you so, so, so much. See you in the new year. Enjoy the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Connor, it's the last podcast of 2023.
Oh my God. I feel like the years go faster and faster and faster
mm-hmm.
with this.
Mm-hmm.
When we, you know, I look back at the beginning of the year and I'm like, wait, who do we even have on? You know what I mean?
I could never quiz you. I used to know in order every single guest. The week and everything that they came out, but it's That's become amazing. Too many at this point.
Because it was like that though. It was guerrilla style booking. Like we were like,
yes.
You know, it was so hard in the beginning. I mean, it's still hard sometimes too. But I'm nostalgic.
Oh, that this time of year leads to nostalgia for us. But I definitely have not gotten tired of it. There's still so many people that I'm like, we need to have them. We need to have them. You know, that's when I think we'll be done. Is when we're like, well, we've talked to everyone. We wanted to talk to. Mm-hmm.
I know. How fun is it that we're at a point where we're like, well, let's just have them on because we want to talk to them, not because we need a guest this week. You know what I mean? That's really cool. I'm proud of us for that, for sure.
It's amazing. Yeah. And we're heading into 2024. I mean, we've already got some really fun stuff lined up. I mean, not to say that we're not ending the year with a bang with today's guest.
Oh, period. I'm so excited. Do you just want to jump right in? I feel like we're already chit-chatting and stuff, and I'm like, oh, we should hit record on this.
I know, the momentum is great.
And I'm randomly reading the intro today mm-hmm. because you forced me to, so I'm just going to do it. Our guest today is an Ohio boy currently making his Broadway debut, standing by as Elder Price in The Book of Mormon. Before he made his way to the Eugene O'Neill Theater, he toured the country in Wicked and Miss Saigon, covering Fierro and Chris, respectively. This star also appeared in the world premiere of Becoming Nancy and has performed in theaters across the country in Mamma Mia, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Footloose, Hairspray, and All Shook Up. He's appeared in film and television in Three Women, Club Allure, and Phantom. You also just might recognize him from Alaska, the drag queen's Red music video. Dylan, I love that you threw that in there. That is so you. Our guest spreads his musical theater expertise, charm, and adventures on his massively popular TikTok account, where he's amassed nearly 500,000 likes and counting. We're so gagged to be chatting with this dog dad, vocal coach, and Broadway star. Please, welcome to Drama,
Paul Schwenson.
What an introduction. I'm going to have to steal that for my Playbill bio.
We'll send it your way.
That's better than what I have written. Yeah.
It's a little bit of that, a little bit of stuff I found from over the years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The Alaska video reference was great. I feel like not many people think of that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I remember seeing you and being like, I know him.
I need to go and watch it. I don't remember.
Well, that was with the long hair,
too. Your hair is different, yeah.
Yeah, so even if you watch that, a lot of people won't realize that that's me. I'll like, show people in the cast, be like, oh, this is what I used to look like with long hair. And they're like, where are you? I'm like, the Tarzan-looking guy there.
Wait, how did that come to be?
The long
Alaska
hair.
Alaska or the long
Alaska.
Hair?
We'll start with Alaska.
Alaska works with one of my good friends, Nick Laughlin, who is a CCM and Mormon boy, and Ohio boy.
I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. So I moved to LA during the pandemic and he reached out to me because he knew I was out there and was like, hey, we're looking for like boy band style dancers for this music video. Are you available? And so that was my first time being in a music video and really doing backup choreography. I'm mainly singer actor first.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I'll try it. And then it was like straight up boy band show choir choreography, which probably is my forte out of any of the styles. Ended up being a really fun experience.
Was it just one day?
One day of filming and one day of rehearsal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a crazy long day. It was at some studio that a lot of the drag queens will film at and do their podcast at. And they're like, if it's ever a 2-day event, you know, that's like the major budget music video, but they just crank those out in one day. It was nuts to see Alaska just go through like look after look for like over 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she looks amazing. I love that whole concept. And that song is such a bop.
It gets stuck in my head still. It's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did the long hair come from just quarantine, not getting her hair cut, and you're like, oh, let's see where this can go? Yeah. Or were you growing it before?
No. Well, I kind of was. I did Becoming Nancy right before the pandemic, and that was set in like 70s, 80s. So we had to have a little bit of longer hair for that. And then I was like, oh, let me continue to grow this out. It was something I'd always want to do. And then I saw a picture of me from like New Year's Eve, and I was like, I look terrible. And I like shaved my hair basically right before the pandemic, and then pandemic hit. And I was like, well, now I don't have to see anyone. So then I restarted to grow it back out. And it took, I didn't have a haircut for about 2 years, I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The chop was right before I went to Wicked, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, it was always something I wanted to do. And then I just could never commit through the awkward phases. But then living at home with my parents in Ohio for like the first 8 months, which are probably the worst of growing out your hair, I was like, okay, I can push through this. I'm not seeing anybody.
Yeah, we ended up in the Cleveland area as well during the pandemic, and never thought we'd be living with our parents again.
Right?
You know, it was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
Did you all reconnect in a nice way though?
We actually did. And so I kind of look at that time like, I mean, it was crazy and just interrupted all of our lives, and it was really hard. But I did, if there's something positive to take away from it, I did get about 6 months with my parents that I probably never would have had in that way, just like living at home full time. And my mom's a flight attendant, so she wasn't flying and working. And my dad's an author, so he's always at home. But for
your dad's an author?
My dad's an author and a comedy coach.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So he's like kind of in like the entertainment world. So for sure. He helped guide me through this. But yeah, it was a special time that we got to spend together. But my parents do live in a one bedroom condo.
Oh, they downsized after you.
Coop. They left our childhood house and then they moved into this condo on the river. So it's like beautiful in the summer, but very tiny. I was sleeping on an air mattress in the living room first 6 months of the pandemic. And then when the season started to change, and you know how it gets cold in Ohio, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And so I called up like three of my best friends from Miss Saigon. And I was like, what if we just got an Airbnb in LA? And so then we moved out to LA. The plan was for a month to begin with, and we extended the Airbnb to 2 months, and then we signed a lease in LA after that and ended up staying a little bit. But yeah,
that's so
after
fun.
6 months with my parents in one bedroom, I was like, okay, I got to get out. I love you guys. This was great, but I got to go.
You watched every movie together.
Oh yeah, all the puzzles, everything. Yeah.
Did you have your dog yet?
No, I actually got my dog on Wicked. Yeah, and I've had him for... I got him in July, so about a year and a half now.
He's so cute.
Yeah, there's been a dog wandering around.
Is he going around? Yeah.
A little bit. Kind of over there I don't know if that looks like...
Yeah, he's on the edge of the couch over there. He's loving the new apartment and the couch. He's just like tearing up the cushions and burrowing himself and everything. But he's like a little... He loves to look out the window and watch. So now that I have the couch, he can like climb up and then look out the window. And then he just like watches people and dogs all day long. It's his favorite activity.
That's so cute.
Yeah. And you rescued him?
I did.
While you were on tour?
Yeah. So we were in Boston and I was looking for a rescue dog, and I wanted like a small like terrier type. I love like the scruffy, scraggly dog. People always say looks like he's from TV land, like that, that type of dog. And so I was on Pet Finder like every single day. Just that was like my backstage activity during Wicked. Between every scene, I'd be backstage like scrolling, be like, okay, looking for a specific type of dog.
Most gays are on Grindr backstage. You're like, no.
Pet Finder. Yeah. And so he was actually in Nashville. And so I found him on probably a Friday, and I messaged the rescue and I was like, if you can hold him till Monday, I will fly out on my day off, come pick him up. Like, we can see if it works. I'll spend the night Monday night and then Tuesday fly back if it's a fit. And so Monday I flew out and I met him at a hotel downtown Nashville. And like, there was no way we were not coming back together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked him up Tuesday, flew back, and then dropped him off at the hotel and went straight to the show. It was, it was nuts doing the puppy stage on the road. But after we kind of got through that, it was the best thing to have a dog and like one kind of consistency on road life.
I'll bet.
And so now that we're in one place, he's kind of like, what's going on? Are we not packing up the bags? Like, where's the suitcases?
What's his name?
His name's Hudson.
That's cute. Where does that come from?
So if you want the long story, it is Lana Del Rey is my number one, my number one singer, songwriter.
I would not have pegged you as a Lana stan.
I know. Yeah, I posted that for my Spotify Wrapped, and a lot of people were like, oh, okay. But no, I've always been obsessed with Lana Del Rey. I feel like even the last year has been like I've kind of gone back and listened to the early albums again. I'm like, oh yeah. And it reinvigorated my obsession with her. And at the time, my favorite album was Norman fucking Rockwell.
I mean, it's a masterpiece.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was listening to that almost every single day in Boston. And I was like, well, what could I name my dog from this album? And I was like, Norman. No, not a Norman, not a fucking Rockwell. Rock Hudson. It's like, oh, and he's got such like a movie star face, and he's like mm-hmm. so cute. And so I was like, Rock Hudson, Norman fucking Rockwell. I like the world that lives mm-hmm. in. So then I named him Hudson. And then I moved back to New York, and we are kind of right on the Hudson. Everything is named Hudson here. So I joke with him. I'm like, okay, there's your cafe, there's your coffee shop, there's your grocery store. He basically owns half the neighborhood.
He's got a Broadway theater.
He does. Yeah.
Connor's obsessed with Rock Hudson. So this is
nice.
Have you seen the HBO documentary about him, the All That Heaven Allowed or All That Allows? There's a book and there's a documentary and they're both named something slightly
different. No, I haven't. Okay.
But if you haven't watched it yet, oh my God, it's so good. It's like maybe an hour and 45 minutes long. So it's not like a really long documentary. It's fantastic. Rock Hudson was such a slut in the best way. And like, he was also such a dedicated actor too, and a genuinely nice guy. Like, everyone agrees, you know, in the research that went into the book that became the doc, cannot recommend it enough. It's so good.
Oh, I'll have to go watch that. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, speaking of Lana Del Rey. So on the tunnel under Ocean Boulevard, I'm obsessed with the Grants, the opening to the album.
That was my number one song of the year.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm obsessed.
It's good.
It is unbelievable. And like when it's, I just love how different it is from the rest of her discography.
Yeah.
And even like the first time I played it, I had to double check my phone. I was like, am I playing Lana Del Rey right now?
Yeah.
But just so amazing. I love how it starts just so raw and in the studio with a mess up and then goes into this and just her lyric writing. That line that's like, my grandmother's last smile, I'll take that with me.
Yeah.
My sister's firstborn child, I'll take that too with me. Like, it's just, I think she's such a poet.
She's the poet laureate, let's be honest. She's really the one. I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to go see her live. But of course, tickets are crazy to get to any concert now. And two, what's up with all the fights at her concerts? Like, her fans are literally like brawling while she's up there singing like blue jeans, white shirt, like all these like melodramatic songs, and her fans are full out fighting and trying to get the best seat to her.
Yeah, so, it depends. I mean, if there's like a
it does
like a pit situation, maybe that would encourage shoving.
Right.
Shoving. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I might wait for the at home movie.
You usually say too, if she would do like Radio City or something like that, like you'd at least be seated.
Yeah.
I don't really like to stand at a concert anymore. Yeah. I think I'm at that age now where it's.
Yeah, I get that. I like to have the seat option.
For sure. People really do get aggressive in those types of settings.
Yeah.
Speaking of an event where we were standing, I need to mention, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this because I met you once in real life, and we did talk about this beforehand. When you were in town for Wicked, we were at a drag show at the famed, now disgraced, gay venue in Columbus.
But it got taken over by different ownership, right? That's so sad.
You keep your finger on the pulse, Paul. You really, you're updated.
Yeah. You take the boy out of Ohio. But the ownership like donates to like very conservative and anti-LGBT causes, so that all kind of came out. It is a shame because it was very much the premier venue.
Because that was, that was the place to be in Columbus. But no, I remember that night distinctly. Also because the Wicked cast, when I was there, it was not really like a going out and club cast. So that in itself was like a rare night that we got so many people to go out. It'd usually be, if we were to go out, it would be for a drag show. And I think it was Violet Tchotchke and Gottmik who were there that night.
I think that makes sense, yeah.
We rallied the cast and got to go. I usually would kind of try to lead that stuff. I also think we saw Alyssa Edwards in Columbus, that same stop.
Yes, she did like a theater show. It was like at another venue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a seated show. That was a seated concert, and it was
Thank
great.
Goodness. I was there with my boyfriend.
Oh, you went?
Yes, it was. I was like upstairs in like the balcony. I had a great view.
Nice. Yeah, that was. I loved that. And
she's
and,
hilarious.
I mean, yeah, hysterical. Like I could just listen to her go all day on that stage.
Her like, I'll never forget her doing like a lip sync to This Is Me or something like that from Greatest Showman, and I was like, this is camp at this point. Like she was like
camp, high
it,
camp.
Yes, it was very Norma Desmond. Like she didn't have like a wig on and she was very raw.
Oh yeah.
But we met. I saw you. I mentioned it. I saw so many cute boys and I was like, this isn't the Columbus Fair that I'm used to. You know, you get to know who's around. And I was like, it's the Ensemble Boys from Wicked. This is exciting.
Ensemble Boys. Yeah, that was such a great night. And mm-hmm. I'm glad we got to meet that was the first time, right?
Yeah, first time. And now you're in the drama fam. So buckle in.
Yeah.
You're part of this crew for life. But I want to get into tour life and everything that you've been experiencing. But I realized we jumped right in with talking to you about different things. We usually like to check in immediately with our guests and kind of meet them where they're at. Paul, are you well?
You know, I am well. I think that shows with how much we have already gone into this conversation.
Yes.
No, things are good. I'm so happy to be back in New York. I haven't really lived in New York full time since 2018.
Wow.
So it has been a while, and I'm so happy to be in one place mm-hmm. for a little bit. But yeah, things are good. I'm well.
I have to ask about this gorgeous boyfriend that you've got on Instagram.
Yes.
I'm surprised you got to it before.
Usually Connor would. Well, I mean, you guys are like picture perfect. It seems like you guys just are so happy. Does he live in New York as well?
He does not, actually. My boyfriend Billy lives in Chicago. We met when Wicked was there. And of course, Wicked was there for 10 weeks.
Oh, shoot.
We met week 9, the end of week 9. And so I was like, if you want to get a drink tomorrow, I'm in town for another week.
Like meet me at Splash or Sidetrack. And that's that.
Yeah, no, we actually met. Wicked was doing a benefit concert at Soho House. And it was actually the day that my dog Hudson got neutered. So I almost didn't even go to the concert, and I got up there and I performed first, and I was like, I'm so happy to be here. I have to rush out as soon as I'm done with the song. My dog just got his nuts chopped off. And I sang Cry Me a River. Oh, and man. It was like from the perspective of Hudson. And then dashed out of there. But then Billy had been there to see it. And so he reached out to me and was like, you were so great. I tried to find you and come up to you afterwards, but you snuck away too fast. And so we ended up hanging out almost every single night that week before the show left. And then we went to DC and we were able to schedule trips back and forth. And so we have been doing long distance for over a year now.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, he is the sweetest and a nicest boyfriend person I've ever met. He's great.
Is he in the theater world at all? If he was at that event or?
He's not. Just, he works for Mars, the chocolate company. So like when we were first starting to date, he was bringing me like boxes of chocolate, like the industrial packs of M&Ms that have like the 24 king size packs. And I was like, I'm so flattered, but you have to stop. I am like coming home and having like 3 packs after every show.
It's giving Wonka.
Yeah, very much that. He's my chocolatier.
That's cute.
Yeah, but he still gets the world. He sees shows. He saw Wicked before knowing that I was in it. So that's how he went to the Soho House concert. He was like, oh, the Wicked cast is performing. I want to go and see it. And then actually, that weekend, I was on his Fiero all weekend.
Oh.
And it had been the first time in, it was over 6 months at that point. And so even when we had like our first date, I was like, oh yeah, I understudy Fiero, but I really never get the chance to do it. It'd be awesome if it ever lined up, but like, I don't know how you could ever really get to see it. And then it was like Saturday morning, I called him. I was like, can you get to the show right now? I'm on. And so then he ended up coming that entire weekend to see me do Fiero was down bad. Yeah.
Even before he saw the white Fiero pants, he was like,
right. Man. Usually that's what gets him, but right. Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I think he ended up going to the show about 10 or 11 times before I left. Yeah, he was just, he was always down.
Always at the lottery, playing to get those tickets.
Yeah, lottery, literally.
Yeah, right? No, one time he got a free ticket. I've never heard of this happening to anyone in any show I've ever done. He walked up, we were in Miami, and he went to the box office, and he was like, oh, my boyfriend's on for Fiero tonight. Is there any kind of discounted seat or obstructed view I can get? And they literally just slid him a ticket. And I was like, I have never, like, even in the show, we don't get comps.
Yeah, right. Right.
And then he just walks up and gets a free ticket. But yeah, he's always down.
His handsome smile.
I know. I'm like, of course that worked.
I love it.
That's so nice. I did long distance for almost 5 years with my boyfriend. So stay strong.
Five years. Wow.
Now we're living together here in Columbus. So it'll be worth it in the end.
Paul. Amazing.
You'll make it through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great that you guys made 5 years. Yeah. Yeah. Well, lots of FaceTimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we ask all of our guests, in addition to checking in, we do like to hear about what got you into the arts. We borrow the term Ring of Keys from the musical Fun Home because we like to think of it as maybe an experience where, you know, the light switch flipped on and you were like, oh my God, I love this so much and identify with it in a way that's bigger than just, you know, watching a movie, seeing a piece of theater. I need to be a part of it. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment?
I feel like I almost always knew my entire life that this is what I wanted to do. I did my first musical when I was 6 years old with my parents. Actually, we did community theater in Ohio. We did Bye Bye Birdie.
Nice.
And so my dad and I auditioned when I was six. He was like, I saw Joseph at our local high school. And then I became obsessed with Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I had the VHS with Donny Osmond and like carried that around everywhere. Every family party I was like putting in, and I was like, who wants to watch? And everyone's like, not again, Paul.
And Maria Friedman, director of Merrily We Roll Along, was the narrator.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that's her.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I haven't watched it in so long. I haven't connected that.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So I was obsessed with that. He was like, okay, do you want to go do your own musical? And so I said, sure. So we auditioned, and my mom, who is fully tone deaf, and it admits it herself. She knows. My dad and I auditioned, and she was like, oh, well, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. So she came into the room, and she was like, you guys don't have to put a mic on me. Like, I just want to stand on stage. I want to be a part of it. And they were like, Debbie, we have to hear you sing something. And so the three of us sang Happy Birthday. And then they ended up casting us all. So that was kind of our summer family project. So from that point, I had like the theater bug and had continued doing musicals and theater camp all the way growing up. And so I think I always knew that it's what I wanted to do. I guess I was just trying to figure out if logistically it was smart or feasible. And maybe the moment that I made like the, yes, this is what I'm going to try, I was trying to think, and it's probably around Glee time in high school. I was huge in show choir. Like, I was so obsessed with it. That was like my favorite extracurricular activity. And we were in Ohio where Glee was set, and in show, like, to be in show choir and obsessed with Glee at that time, like, that was just like, that was like the coolest thing in my mind.
Oh, for sure.
It was revolutionary. And so I was like, that's when I really was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm obsessed with this. Let's go full force. So that, like, around 2010, 11, around that time.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, we grew up also obsessed with Glee. What year did you graduate?
2013.
Okay.
What about you guys?
The year 2012. So, okay. But same. It was like so crazy to be in Ohio and we'd be like, yeah, it would definitely be snowing in Lima right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we'll go with it. We'll go with it.
Sure.
Glee was the moment. I feel like it really, really was, like you said, revolutionary in the way it shook the culture.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would happen again because people don't really watch TV week to week in that way. But I can remember like the music would drop like the day of or something, and you could hear the songs before the episode came out. And like there was this girl that we were in choir with who would like always listen to it. And I'd be like, no, I need to see it in the episode first. You know, I need the context.
Yeah. I mean, they were such great storytellers with the songs. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, now I understand like why bust the windows out your car. Like I now see the vision in it.
That's so funny. Our friend Poot, aka Jimmy, who loves your TikTok, by the way, he often lives by the law of the Glee version was probably better than the original.
That's how my roommate in LA was. We'd be like in the house and he would be playing like the Glee version of it's just better.
A lot of the Christmas songs, though, I will say, like, I hear them in like Macy's, or I've been shopping this week and I've heard like Mercedes or Amber Riley singing, you know, different things. I'm like, and I do love the Lea Michele name. Last Christmas. I do love the Lea,
they keep popping Lea up Michele. On like my Christmas stations right now. And I'm like, is that Pentatonix or Glee right now?
Usually you'll be on the mark with one of those.
Yeah,
I know.
That's so funny. Yeah. Wait, so with your dad, who was an author and a comedy coach, do you feel like he encouraged you then with like when you were in a show and you were trying to punch something up, or did he kind of let you fly on your own?
He absolutely was there for every step of the way and like encouraging me in the best way. He was definitely the healthy version of a stage dad, but he'd be like sitting in the back of the auditorium for like all the rehearsals when I was a kid and like needed like a chaperone or supervisor there. Aww. And like would come home and help me run lines. And he plays piano by ear and like we would sing together. So he was also always like helping me figure out what my dream was and my passion was. He was just always like the biggest proponent of whatever makes you happy. Just follow that full force. He helped guide me in this. He's always like, if you don't want to do it, like we'll figure something else out. And I was like, no, this is what I'm passionate about. So I was really lucky to have him along the way and his business side of it. Like he made my first resumes. He helped me get like my headshot and all of that together for college, because even though I was involved in the arts and music things, I don't feel like I was as prepared as some of my other friends who went to CCM. Mm. Like they were doing like the Michigan Musical Theater Camp and they were doing all these summer programs and had their headshots printed from reproductions and had their cuts. And that was all kind of new to me. Like I was doing community theater and show choir and high school musicals, but not in so much of like a sense that I felt like prepared. Yes, I have this package that I've been working for. I kind of just like threw together my audition for CCM last minute, and it was the only program I actually auditioned for. I was like, if I get into CCM, cool, this is like what I'm gonna go do. If I not, maybe I need to like take some time. And I was like, I'll go study. I wanted to be a foreign exchange student in Spain for you. I was like, I'll go do my senior year again and then like piece together more of a package, but let me see what happens this year.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Thank goodness it happened that way.
I know. I was like, thank God I had a good day. Yeah. It's like if I had one bad day, like my life, like you could see your life branching out in different paths. It'd be like, I would probably be on this one right now.
Yeah. Have you been to Spain yet?
I have been to Spain. Yeah, I went to Barcelona with my mom right before I started my first semester of college.
Oh, good. I'm glad you still got to do it then.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But when I was in middle school, we hosted a foreign exchange student from France. And so that was like, that inspired me so much. And I was like, oh, I want to have that experience. I think it's so great to travel and see the world. And then I feel like I got lucky doing two tours to kind of see that on the America side.
Yeah. And Miss Saigon was the first tour you did, right?
It was. Yeah. Went out in, is that 2018? In the fall of 2018.
Okay.
I did the show for about 11 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love Miss Saigon. It has some bops. Oh my God. Who are we just talking about it with, Dylan? Oh,
Katie
Rose Clark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, especially Eva Noblezada, I could listen to her sing those songs any day. Like,
she's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I think I saw her on Broadway twice before I started auditioning, and I was just like obsessed. And that show is one of my favorite shows of all time. Just the music is so sweeping and beautiful. Like I love like a full orchestra and those big arrangements. And I think it's just some of the best music. You start the show and it's Heat Is On in Saigon, Why God, Sun and Moon, like all, Movie in My Mind. Like it's, you're like another hit after hit for like the first six songs. It's so impressive.
Yeah. Yes. And was that the tour version of the one that Eva was in on Broadway?
It was. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same thing, but we had a different helicopter. It was actually, I think, 3 feet bigger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was interesting that they made a bigger one to take around to all these touring houses.
Yeah, what a showstopper, the helicopter.
Yeah, yeah, it was really cool. And I think they rebuilt it knowing what could go wrong with it. So then they also fixed a lot of that for the tour production.
Was that a positive experience going on tour?
Yeah, I loved it. And it was really great setting the show because I felt like we were this was a lot of people's first tour or like biggest credit. And so we were all so excited to be there and to set it and kind of bond with the cast and then go through tech week and starting it was such a great experience. And I met some of my best friends that I still have to this day from that show.
The LA roommates.
And the LA roommates, like people who are just like down for anything. And it was such a great time. I met one of my best friends, Myra Malloy, who was the Kim alternate. We got to do Kim and Chris together sometimes. It was a really great experience. I loved that.
Amazing that your first touring experience was so good.
And yeah.
That you really were kind of on the ground floor of building it up, because sometimes, like I look with Wicked, you're thrown into like a well-oiled machine and it's probably a little bit different.
So. Yeah, very different experience to kind of just step into something that has been running for so long. And it's kind of like, and people have been there. We had someone in the cast who had been there for 14 years.
Wow. And,
on tour. Yeah, had opened it from the beginning when it opened in Chicago. And so it's just two different work environments to step into something that is doing its thing and works, and something that you have kind of built from the ground up with Miss Saigon.
Yeah. Now, did you get to go on as Chris a lot?
I think I did Chris about maybe 12 or 13 times.
Okay.
Yeah. Anthony Festa was our Chris, and he was just a beast. Like, he would do show after show. It was really impressive. But the first time I got to go on actually was in Cleveland.
Oh yeah.
And I think that was maybe five months into the show being open.
Okay.
And so my family was just like, how are we going to get to see this? Like, you haven't been on yet. Like, we'll figure it out, but it's going to be difficult. And then in Cleveland, Anthony and our other understudy got sick. And so I did, the first time I went on, I did the full five show weekend. And which was so stressful, just because that show is such a beast. It's 3 hours all singing. The whole show is sung. So I was like, okay, we'll figure this out. Like, if I have this endurance and stamina to do this whole five show weekend, and got through it and got to have like all of my family and friends come. I had like some of my best friends who were at Ohio State drive up to Cleveland and see the performances that weekend. Oh, so it was fun. So special that, yeah, I got to do it in my hometown for the first time, and then got to have so many reps.
Yeah.
We went to Ohio State.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Go Buckeyes.
Mm-hmm. Was this?
Yes.
Wait, they kept the nudity in the tour, right?
With Chris's butt.
With Chris's butt.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. My mom laughed out loud. I don't think I warned them that was coming. And then, which is just such a funny moment. Like, right before I got out, it's just like a little, another moon to be seen on stage.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Were you nervous for that?
A little. I was just like, I was more like embarrassed that my family was there. And is it like, cause sure. I think it's just supposed to be like a little like peekaboo. And then depending who is on would choose how much they were going to show.
Oh, got you.
Okay. Okay.
And so then with Wicked, did you go on for Fiero a lot more times? Cause that, you know, a dozen times is a lot, but comparatively, I feel like.
Yeah. 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 With Fiero, I did Wicked for about 2 years. The first year, not so much. I did, our Fiero took a vacation, so I got to do that whole week. So that was awesome. I had that planned, and then I was in Omaha, and I got to have like my parents fly down for that. But our first year, not so much. The guy was another just tank, like every single show. Year two, I got to go on a little bit more. So I think I probably have done Fiero around, I think it was in around the 24 mark, 25.
Nice.
On tour specifically, I feel like a lot of people push through and will do the show. It's like, otherwise you're kind of just like in the middle of some city you're not familiar with, and you're like, all right, it's not like I just like need the night off, I need to rest and recover. It's like, I might as well, I'm away from everything in my life, so I might as well go in and give a performance.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting difference, you know, but I'm sure you're totally right. Was Wicked a total dream to be in?
Oh my gosh,
you know,
we
grew up around the same time. I'm sure it was highly impressionable on you.
Oh yeah.
When it came out, yeah.
It was such a dream show to be a part of, and I saw it for the first time in Cleveland, and it's just such an iconic piece that has shaped everything in this industry. And so to be a part of it, especially with a show that is still running on Broadway, and so the only way to be a part of it is to be in the national tour or on Broadway, it just felt like stepping into a legacy piece. And sure. To have this honor to be the select people who can do this show, it was such a dream come true. Like, the first, I remember like the first night just we're all huddled around the lights in the middle for the opening sequence. I just like turned to my friend Jackie next to me. I was like, we're doing Wicked right now. And she was like, yeah, Paul. But it was just, it was such a pinch me moment to do that show and hear the opening. Like, it's just such a cool feeling.
Are you excited for the movie?
I'm so excited. I think it's going to be incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I love the casting. Ariana Grande is Glinda. She's like the most popular pop star girl in the world. Like, she is going to be perfect. I love Cynthia Erivo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited to hear their voices together. I think it's going to be so good.
Totally.
And Jonathan Bailey, who's obviously having a moment now with fellow travelers. Have you watched it yet?
I was actually talking to Elder Cunningham standby last night in the dressing room. I haven't watched it yet. Well, I usually wait for an entire season of something to come out so we can so I can binge it. Is it done now?
Should it's
I,
done. Can I it start? Finished. You can start. It finished okay. last week. It is so good. It's okay. a little heavier than I thought it would be, but I guess I actually didn't know the plot other than it's like a gay love story.
Yeah.
I loved it. I think you're gonna love it.
Matt it's Bomer so is like my celebrity crush, my number one. So I'm like,
oh, get ready.
Love Jonathan Bailey. So I'm very excited to start it.
I know. I need to get on it too because it's not on.
It's either on Stars or Showtime, but it's on Paramount Plus if you have like that add-on or whatever. Okay. But okay, Paul, really quick. You mentioned Elder Cunningham. You're obviously in Book of Mormon.
Yes.
Standing by for Elder Price, which we both got to see you do it at different performances, but you were so great.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And what a funny show. I mean, I haven't seen it in, honestly, eight or nine years.
Yeah.
No way. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. You were amazing. Yeah. Wait, the guy playing Elder Cunningham, Cody Jameson Strand.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God. Like,
he is so funny. He cracks me up nonstop on stage and off stage. I did a mid-show swing on and the line in act two when after Spooky Mormon Hell Dream, where he's like, I'm like, Elder Cunningham, are you serious? That's amazing. And he's like, Elder Price, hey. Like, because he's mad at me. He went, Elder Price, you look different on stage. And it was perfect because the audience needed to, like, acknowledge that I was a different actor. So he, like, broke that awkwardness and also made a huge laugh out of it. I almost broke. And, and the laughter and applause held for literally, like, over a minute. It was it was so funny. But he is incredible.
It's his voice combined with the timing that just really works.
Yeah, how is his voice in good health? You're a vocal coach. Like, how does he do this?
I don't know, because he's like he's screaming like nonstop, like growling and screaming, even just like in ad libs on stage. I'm like, his mic's not even on, and he's like backstage, just like whistle toning. He's incredible. He's a beast. He's so awesome to work with.
That's so good to hear. Yeah. I mean, you were absolutely sensational. You were invested in every moment of the show. Because I think it can be a little corny, or you can view Price in a certain way, but you were bright-eyed and your voice sounded so strong. And I think I saw you, it was like end of September, I want to say.
Thank you.
It was
were you at
the Broadway flea market.
Were you at my first night?
It was a Sunday night, so I don't know if you went on at all that weekend otherwise, but it was like a rare Sunday night show, and I was like, there's nothing else going on. I've always wanted to see it on
Broadway.
Yeah,
it's like one of the only shows that has a Sunday night. But so then you saw my first weekend. I went on...
I think so.
I had my put-in on Friday, and after my put-in at like 4:30, they were like, can you do the show tonight? I was like, might as well. Let's go. So I think it had been like, I had been there for 2.5 weeks. And I'd never seen Book of Mormon before I joined the company.
Never?
Wow. Never. I was like, I'm going to love this. And I want to see it in person instead of like finding a slime tutorial or something online.
Right.
And I was like, and it's around. It's not. So like when I had time to go see a show, which is really hard when you are in a show, I would usually go see something. And I was like, I knew it was closing. And I was like, oh, Book of Mormon will be around. I will see that eventually. And then... I saw it when I joined the company for the first time. So it was really, that was probably one of the craziest moments of my career was, I mean, I had listened to the album maybe once kind of when it came out, but wasn't really familiar with any of the songs. I think I sang I Believe in college for a vocal coaching class once.
Yeah.
But to newly learn this material and just like to be like, not so familiar with the music as like other shows that I had grown up listening to. I was like, this is so wild to like be in this. And like Elder Price doesn't leave the stage for like the first 50 minutes of the show.
Oh my God.
So it was, it was nuts, but such an incredible experience. So you saw that first weekend where I was still like,
you were great
piecing it together. Thank you.
I believe you know, you really did body that. So you did well with that one.
Thank you. That is one of my favorites.
Okay. So we're sadly wrapping up here, but before we say goodbye, we do like to end on a dose of drama. You know, this is something that we, you know, have on our minds and our hearts, something we want to recommend to our listeners to go out there in the world and consume. And I realized that maybe because of the way we've recorded, Dylan, I have not been able to talk about going to see the Beyoncé Renaissance film in theaters. And oh my God, have either of you seen it?
Not yet.
No, I saw the concert, but I haven't seen the film.
Oh, okay. I missed the concert. Mm-hmm. But this film isn't just a, you know, straight concert presentation. It's a true documentary style. It's not only looking into what the tour represents, but it's her life. It's her relationship with her daughter. It's her relationship with her family, her friends. It is amazing. It really shows her as a businesswoman and the mind behind her art. Cannot recommend it enough. It was unbelievable. It is very long. It is very, very long. I mean, this is the year of long movies with like Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer, but absolutely worth it. And seeing it in a movie theater was great because the sound was just wild and the screen, this huge screen. She's probably the best we have. I mean, she is quite the performer, obviously, but seeing how much thought and care and how much she's had to kind of fight for control of her career was just fascinating. And I feel like she lets us into her life in a new way in this film. So cannot recommend it enough. I'm sure it'll stream at some point, but yeah, so good.
I can't wait. I love to see her backstage presence where she, I like how she's just such a part of every decision and just such a genius.
She really is.
There was that other one for her Coachella. Was it Homecoming? Is that what it was called?
Homecoming.
And that was very good. Actually watched that while camping out overnight for Rush tickets to Hadestown. So I was
you did?
Sort of in a strange, blurry. Yeah. Speaking of Eva Noblezada. But anyways, I love that, Connor. I need to see that. My dose of drama is since we were talking about drag earlier, what's looking like my last book of the year that I'm finishing is Sasha Velour's Manifesto of Drag. It's called The Big Reveal. It is fascinating. I feel like Sasha's been sort of in the news lately about people contesting whether her win was valid. It's really been an interesting.
Oh, really?
Why? I've seen a lot of online chatter. People think that she won because of the reveal and that it was just she was the first person to win the show that didn't have the most challenge wins.
But wasn't that the first season that they did the lip sync finale?
It was.
So she won that lip sync.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy thing is like we thought like every finale until that point was basically whoever won the most challenges. And then at that point, it became a reveal contest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she did that with the reveals.
Yeah. Even in like the Meet the Queens that they just released for season 16, a lot of the queens were talking about like the moment that they'll remember forever was Sasha with the rose petals. And so it really did change the culture of at least drag on television. And I'm sure in real life, I mean, I've seen so many reveals in real life now, but it's a very good book. It's a lot about the history of drag tied in with her own personal experiences with it. And she's a genius. She was like a Fulbright scholar. Like it's just a really, really great book. So if anyone needs a stocking stuffer idea, I highly recommend The Big Reveal by Sasha Velour.
Love it. Cool. Paul, do you have a dose of drama?
Yeah, right now while I've been setting up my apartment, I've had all those claymations from ABC. Do you remember those Christmas claymations? The stop motion cartoons. I've had those on and they are just such a joy to go back and watch. There's some good music in them. That little penguin song, put one foot in front of the other.
Oh my God.
And so I've had those on. Heat Miser, they're so great to go back and watch, and just so nostalgic for me. So I've had those on, and it's been a real treat.
Oh, I love
that. What's the name of that elf who's a dentist? Is he in that as well?
Oh yeah, what's his name?
Is it Herbie?
It might be Herbie.
I think so.
He's like, I want to grow up and be a dentist. That's in the Rudolph.
Yes. Oh my God, that's so cute. Okay, that will make me feel very cozy and in the spirit. So. Connor, when I'm home, we need to absolutely put on one of those.
Totally.
Great dose of drama, Paul. This has been so much fun. You're such a nice, I mean, there's something about the Midwest. I've always said it.
I know, right?
Just a sweet, genuine
Midwest
guy.
Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm so happy that we've got you on drama at this point in your career, because I do feel like the sky is the limit. There's so much more in store for you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. This has been such a joy.
Aww.
Yay. I'm so glad. Now everyone can just find you at Paul Schwentzen on Instagram and same thing on TikTok, right?
On TikTok. Yeah. Paul Schwentzen okay. everywhere.
Love Beautiful. It.
Yeah. Everyone's got to follow the TikTok. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right. And while everyone's following Paul, we're at the Drama Podcast. Dylan is at Dylan McDowell. I'm at Connor McDowell.
And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.